Today on Straight Talk Africa, democracy is deepened in Ghana as incumbent President John Dramani Mahama concedes defeat with grace and dignity. But in the Gambia, the struggle for democracy continues as President Yahya Jammeh initially conceded defeat to his challenger Adama Barrow, but drew international condemnation when he shifted the goalposts Friday and rejected the poll results. That's coming up next right here on Straight Talk Africa. Hello, welcome to Straight Talk Africa, live from the Voice of America studios here in Washington. I am Shaka Sali.
Well, hello to you, Shaka, and hello to all our viewers and listeners on the continent and elsewhere. I'm Mariama Diallo, your social media reporter.
Today, it's a discussion on African reaction to recent elections in Ghana and the Gambia.
And coming up later in our STA inbox, we'll share your thoughts on our topic through your emails, tweets, and Facebook comments. That's ahead on Straight Talk Africa. Hope you'll stay with us.
Ghanaian opposition leader Nana Akufo-Addo won the presidential election in a landslide last week on his third attempt. But the struggle for democracy in the Gambia continues as President Yahya Jammeh made an astonishing U-turn despite having conceded defeat earlier. My colleague Paul Diho has more.
Gambia's long-time leader, President Yahya Jammeh, is drawing international condemnation after going back on his word to step down after losing the presidential election to Adama Barrow. Mr. Jammeh initially conceded defeat to President-elect Barrow.
I hereby take this opportunity to congratulate Mr. Adama Barrow for his victory. I wish you all the best. The country will be in your hands in January, and you are assured of my guidance on your transition.
But by late Friday, Jammeh had changed his mind, and in a televised statement, he shocked the world and announced that he had decided to reject the ballot on charges of fraud and that he would challenge the voting results before the country's Supreme Court.
I hereby announce to you Gambians my total rejection of the electoral results and thereby annulling the elections in its entirety. And until we go back, we will go back to the polls because I want to make sure that every Gambian has voted.
A delegation of West African heads of state led by Liberian President Ellen Johnson Sirleaf traveled to Gambia to mediate the dispute. In Ghana, President John Mahama and the nation's voters have again demonstrated that their country is a beacon of West African democracy. President Mahama quickly called opposition leader Nana Akufo-Addo to concede defeat in the national election. President-elect Akufo-Addo won an outright majority in the vote, according to the country's electoral commission.
On the basis of the foregoing figures, and by the power vested in me as the chairperson of the electoral commission and the returning officer for the presidential election, it is my duty and my privilege to declare Nana Addo-Dankwa Akufo-Addo as a president-elect of the Republic of Ghana. Thank you. God bless our homeland, Ghana, and make our nation greater and stronger.
Nana Akufo-Addo defeated President John Mahama with nearly 54% of the vote. After hearing the news, his supporters, the New Patriotic Party, broke into cheers and dancing as car horns, blood, and fireworks erupted across the capital, Accra. Akufo-Addo, 72, says he's ready for the challenge.
I make this solemn pledge to you tonight. I will not let you down.
In the end, voters gave President John Mahama just 1 4-year term before rejecting his administration. Akufo-Addo and his New Patriotic Party will inherit an economy that for years was rated one of Africa's most dynamic, but has slowed down sharply since 2014. in part because of the falling prices for the country's main exports, including gold, cocoa, and oil. Paul Ndiho, VOA News, Washington.
Thank you, Paul. And joining us here in our Washington studios are two distinguished guests. My colleague, Peter Kelote, host of VOA's Nightline Africa radio program, and Ambassador Sidi Sane, a former Gambian foreign minister. Ni Akwete, who is expected to be joining us shortly, I gather is stuck in the Washington, D.C. traffic. Well, gentlemen, nevertheless, of course, you are here, and I have to say that I'm profoundly honored and exceedingly humbled to have the pleasure of hosting the two of you on Straight Talk Africa.
Thank you, Shaka.
You're most welcome.
Thank you very much for having me.
It is very nice having you, especially given that we last met about 2 years ago.
Yes.
At the Willard Hotel, I remember.
That's right.
You're most welcome. Later in the program, we'll give you, the audience, a chance to call and talk with our guests. The number to call is 202-619-3111, and the U.S. country code is 1. Well, Peter Kelote, thank you very much. First of all, congratulations for coming back home safely in one piece.
And not in pieces.
Not in pieces, indeed. Why would you come in pieces anyway?
Well, everything went smoothly well, so I'm grateful that I'm back in one piece.
How was Accra?
Accra was peaceful, was orderly, and so far so good. It has been a serene atmosphere before, during, and after the elections. Some reports of skirmishes here and there, but the security services were in control. I spoke with several of them, and they had everything under control. Even during the electoral process, you could see police people deployed to the polling stations, just standing there, just looking at what was happening. But they had very little to do, actually. It was just for safety, you know, to safeguard the election, but it was peaceful.
Talking about the elections, let's talk about the results. Were you surprised?
I cannot say that I wasn't surprised, based on a few things. Several polls that were conducted way ahead of the election showed Nana Addo Dankwa Akufo-Addo, the main opposition leader, as winning the election with over 50% of the vote count. Now, there were only two polls that I could readily see while I was in Ghana that gave the election, predicted that John Dramani Mahama, the incumbent president, will win. One was conducted by a pollster and the Dispatch editor and publisher. His name is Ben Efsin, who predicted that John Dramani Mahama, the incumbent president of the National Democratic Congress, the NDC, would win with at least 52% of the vote. He came out after the election to say that he wasn't God and that he got it wrong, and he accepted it.
That is, of course, Nkrumah East, I think I know about the journalist.
Right.
What about the people generally, really? Did they expect this type of result?
I could say some of them expected it, because in some areas where you could clearly see previously as NDC stronghold in part of Accra, it has changed when I went back there. I spoke with people in both English and Hausa, and they were saying this time around they want change. They want, after 8 years of one-party rule, they want to experience the economic policies of another party, give the other party a chance, in this case, Nana Addo Dankwa Akufo-Addo, who made some lofty promises and, you know, predicted that if elected into power, these are some of the things he was going to deal with. And Ghanaians accepted it, I believe.
What about the old man, my friend, your father himself, a man, of course, who had been in the political cold for the last 8 years? How did he receive this one?
Well, he thought it was going to happen. In some cases, he had even advised Nana Addo Dankwa Akufo-Addo, because he felt Nana Addo Dankwa Akufo-Addo is the right man at this time. And previously, before he died, the late John Evans Atta Mills, your friend, also sought power on three consecutive occasions. On the third try, he won the election.
You're
right, by defeating Nana Addo Dankwa Akufo-Addo, who has now tried for the third time, and Ghanaians repose confidence in his ability to rule for the next 4 years. So it's like a trend now in Ghana.
Ghanaians, of course, seem to be very fair voters, really, because since the stepping down of Flight Lieutenant Jerry John Rawlings retired but not tired. At least each party has had the opportunity to serve Ghanaians for two terms.
Right.
And in this particular case, of course, John Dramani Mahama happens to obviously have had the dubious privilege, frankly, of making Ghanaian history by being the first incumbent Ghanaian president to lose an election, but of course concede the defeat with grace and dignity.
And class, as some people will say. However, the truth of the matter is, as you have said, however, the NDC basically had 8 years in power and not the individual. Although John Dramani Mahama served only one term, he finished or completed the 2 years remaining from John
Evans Atta.
You know, you can say one, but politically speaking, you can even give him one and a half or two. So he finished his term and then ran for a second term, which was 4 years. So statistically, the NDC was in power for 8 years.
Correct.
So after 8 years, Ghanaians tend to change the party and bring a new party. And now the new sheriff in town is Nanado Dankwa Akufo-Addo. However, you know, he served for only, 6 years, 4 years, his first term. He could come back after probably two tries. Who knows?
Is it possible that the Ghanaians, in fact, may have borrowed a leaf from one of their giant regional neighbors, Nigeria, where, of course, President Goodluck Jonathan also finished the term of Yar'Adua and was only given one term by Nigerian voters.
It was very, very common to see that happen. And some people predicted that similar fate was going to befall John Dramani Mahama. He made everything possible. He campaigned hard across the country, sometimes two or three different stops across the country. Huge sums of money were invested in campaigns, in ads. But I think Ghanaians had had enough.
A lot of people, of course, will tell you that when you look at John Dramani Mahama, he is someone that is environmentally friendly.
He is.
He's someone that you don't frankly mind being your neighbor. What happened? What were the driving factors here that made him lose the election?
Well, some people that I spoke with said that he surrounded himself with a lot of people who were deemed or accused of embezzling public funds or inflating public contracts and padding their pockets, and the fact that they did not see him taking action against those people who are alleged to have committed these issues of financial malfeasances angered a lot of people. The second part was that they felt that some of these young members had not actually worked in their lives. He gave them the opportunity right after they had come from the university. They had completed university. Mm-hmm. And some were saying that they did not have any experience to transform those in ministries that were entrusted into their hands. So they felt that, thirdly, they were being disrespectful to the elderly in society, some to the extent that insults were hurled at some church leaders who criticized the administration. So they felt that all these were against the president, and because he did not take action, proactive action to that effect, they felt he was not to be trusted for another four-year term, and that is why they decided to choose Nanado Dankwa Akufo-Addo, who is an elderly man who they said has a proven track record of serving as the foreign minister, attorney general, and minister of justice. So they believed him.
But what about people who say that, it was really not a victory for Nana Akufo-Addo or the NPP, that in fact this was a rejection of the NDC simply because the economy was stupid?
The economy was that bad, I must admit. However, when you go to any part of Accra and some parts of other regions, construction is booming. You could see skyscrapers, all kinds of building infrastructure going all over the place. But the average Ghanaian say they do not have money in their pockets. And that is what hit home hard against incumbent President John Dramani Mahama.
Very, very interesting. Well, now we'll pause for a short break, and we would like to remind you that Straight Talk Africa is now on the social networking website Twitter, and we are tweeting live. Follow us at VOA Shaka, that's VOA Shaka, and join in on today's discussion with your questions and comments. Don't forget to use the hashtag VOA Gambia, Ghana Elections. And we are still on Facebook. Just enter the keyword Straight Talk Africa. Become a fan and connect with the other friends of the Voice of America. We'll be right back with you, so please, don't go away.
We are able to touch on things that are important to people on an everyday basis. We hope that our viewers are getting inspired when they watch our show. They're getting a view of the world from a different perspective, things that perhaps are not in their immediate vicinity. Today, I could put in on the show something that is a little different, a little unique, and this gives me that inspiration to come to work.
This is Straight Talk Africa on the Voice of America. What is your opinion about today's topic? Call us at 202-619-3111. U.S. country code 1. When you call, remember the following. Ask only one question. Keep your comment brief and turn down the volume on your radio or television. Now let's return to Straight Talk Africa.
Thank you very much, Esther Githui Ewart. And by the way, thank you so much for holding the fort while I was away on assignment. Thank you so much indeed. Well, let me come back to you, Ambassador Sidi Sane. You come from Gambia.
Yes.
Which you represented very well, of course, as its foreign minister at one time. Were you surprised by the electoral results in your country?
Well, I was in a way, although I have been a staunch supporter of the opposition to Yahya Jammeh, but I also was not blinded to the fact that it is an African incumbent who happens to also be an authoritarian, mm-hmm. and anything could happen. You can win an election, but you can end up losing it at the counting of the votes.
You know, in fact, one of your former neighboring president, I believe his name was Abdou Wade of Senegal.
Abdoulaye Wade
of Senegal.
Yes.
He once actually said that, how can you possibly be an incumbent president, organize an election, and lose it. Even though he, of course, went on at some point to lose against Macky Sall.
Yes.
What about the fact that Yahya Jammeh somehow proved that, in fact, he did have something akin to an independent electoral commission? Because, in fact, the chairman of the electoral commission had the guts, the courage to announce the legitimate results. And in fact, the initial reaction from President Yahya Jammeh himself was very positive. He even, in fact, conceded defeat.
Yes.
Were you surprised by that?
I was surprised by the fact that he conceded defeat.
Why?
Because I am one of those who feel that Jammeh has never won an election.
Mm-hmm.
Not in 97.
Mm-hmm.
Not in 2001,
mm-hmm.
not in 2006,
mm-hmm.
not in 2011,
mm-hmm.
and he thought he could also win this one.
So those were frankly not elections, in fact, if I may venture into that area. They are probably what someone would have characterized as selections.
There you go.
But that's this exactly particular one seems to have been, in fact, an election.
This was an election, and that was also part of the surprise. As far as Jammeh was concerned, which explains his overconfidence. He has always been fed the information that, and given the impression that he was going to win this election. And he actually has said, he has said so in many occasions, that mm-hmm. he was not going to campaign. So he was overconfident, number one. And number two, the change in the process of electing a president, whereby the counting is done at the polling stations themselves. made the difference in our view. Because previously, they will collect all of these from the precinct level, ward level, all the way up to the constituency level, and sometimes cross-constituency levels. Mm-hmm. Between those distances, everything could happen to those votes. This time around, everything was done, counted on the spot, and this made a lot of difference, a huge difference.
What about the role of social media and the changing demographics in the population?
Those were two aspects that played in very, very well and very prominently in these elections. Previous elections, we didn't have the benefit of the social media revolution, so to speak. This time around, I was part of it myself. I run a blog, which was very well received locally. Also, several other social media platforms, WhatsApp and all this. It has really made a difference where people who are in the diaspora, which is a very significant part of the electorate that but without a vote, mm-hmm. significantly, both in terms of the economy and also in terms of the influence they have with their parents and relatives at home. They were sending messages through video platforms on Facebook and on Twitter to their parents. And they will sit at the village level listening to these messages coming from their own children. And that has made a tremendous amount of difference in these elections.
Other dictators like him, his colleagues in the African Union, are a little bit smarter. They make sure that when there is an event like a selection or an election, as you call it, they block the social media. Any particular reason why President Yahya Jammeh left the social media open?
He did not leave it quite open because he did block it at some point. What they do is they manipulate the bandwidth because he also, he relies heavily on communications, obviously. He has his friends out there. Mm-hmm. You know, he has his friends, we will not name names, but he has his friends also who were saying to him, my brother, how did you let this happen?
Why don't you name the names?
You know. Because
you
these are
in
people.
A democratic society. Well, why don't you name them?
These are people. His friends in Morocco. In Mauritania, Equatorial Guinea, in Burundi. These are all friends of Yahya Jammeh. So they have actually been calling, and also Sudan.
What do they have in common?
Well, they are all entrenched dictators. It is unfortunate, but this is what has happened. We could have had a very beautiful story to tell as well as Ghana. Had Jammeh just stick to his concession speech and let the new president-elect, Adama Barrow, take charge. Unfortunately, this did not happen. But everything else that was done in these elections were exemplary. The election, the voting system went very well. Mm-hmm. As you mentioned yourself, the IEC, the Independent Electoral Commission chairman, performed very well. He came up with his results. Jammeh thought perhaps maybe he could influence him, which did not succeed. So everything went well, except when Jammeh came back a few days later to renege on his promise to ensure a smooth transition from his administration to the administration of the president-elect.
But why did he make a U-turn, really? Because initially he did concede defeat. He, in fact, personally called his competitor,
yes,
President-elect Barrow. He called him, conceded defeat, and offered to help him walk through a peaceful transition from his administration to the next one. So what do you think, frankly, made him make such a statement? I was listening to him on his videotape where he actually said that in the past he had actually even promised that even if he was running behind by one vote, that he would definitely concede defeat. Mm-hmm. Why do you think he came out really openly with that kind of a gesture initially, really? Was he forced into it by the international community or by some forces or what?
It may take a while before really we know exactly what transpired, in my view. But what I think happened, to some extent, was he was hoping that he will get the cooperation of the chairman of the Electoral Commission to manipulate the figures. When that did not happen, he said, okay, I am going to go ahead and concede. But then he also has a plan B. And the plan B was what is now being played out at the moment. I also understand, based on the information that I have from my sources, that when he conceded, his army personnel, the senior brass, came to him and said to him that you have thrown us under the bus. You have made us commit all these crimes. You have made us do all these terrible things. And we are, people know who we are. Because there is a group called the Junglers, for instance.
Yeah.
They are very prominent, and prominent reporting has been done on them. They know, we know who those people are. And it's a part of those group. That group went to him and said to him, well, look, this really, and he said to them, well, look, this is only a ploy. I'm going to stay here with you. You know, so we will find out more as time passes. But this is basically it.
What about reports that the commander of the Gambian army, in fact, went ahead and pledged his allegiance,
yes,
to the president-elect, mm-hmm, and congratulated him and said he was looking forward to working with him?
Yes, the condition within the army hierarchy itself is still playing itself out, in my view. They are trying to see which way the wind is blowing. Some of them are trying to find, a sweet spot, so to speak. But eventually, they are going to be on the side of the people, eventually. Some of them obviously may have, you know, to explain themselves. But I believe that the core army group itself, they are going to be supporting the new government. And they are going to support, declare their allegiance to the president-elect.
Given the regional, continental, and international reaction so far, to what extent, frankly, do you think that President Yahya Jammeh thinks he can sustain this?
Well, he has a very sort of delusional character. He's that type.
He claimed to have discovered a cure of AIDS.
HIV/AIDS and the like. So, you know, it doesn't come as a surprise that he can, you know, entertain such outlandish views about the world, how the world works and how Africa works.
What about his neighbors,
Senegal?
Senegal, can't they just in 1 week get him out?
Yeah, but okay, Senegal also cannot do so without having the authority. I mean, as you recall, recently the United Nations Security Council unanimously declared, passed a resolution condemning Jammeh's action and supporting Adama Barrow.
So has the African Union.
So has the African Union.
ECOWAS, in fact.
ECOWAS,
yes.
Senegal itself. European Union. And, in fact, given the fact that Russia supported this resolution in the Security Council, although they have not publicly said so yet, we suspect and we expect the Russian Federation to come out clearly in favor and support of Adama Barrow and his government.
I think they have, because there are only 15 members of the Security Council, and they were unanimous. 15,
yes,
which means it includes Russia.
Yes, but they have not issued a congratulatory message yet, but I think it will be forthcoming.
Well, you're tuned into Straight Talk Africa. We'll have more of a discussion in a moment, but first here is Mariama Diarro herself. Take it away, Mariama.
Well, thanks, Shaka. Still to come, we'll reveal some of the outstanding feedback we've received from our audience through social media. We'll be right back.
Like Voice of America on Facebook. Follow VOA on Twitter. Join VOA on our YouTube channel. Like, follow, join VOA. This is Straight Talk Africa on the Voice of America. Call us now with your questions and comments. The number is 202-619-3111 and the U.S. country code is 1. Call us direct and we'll call you right back. Remember to turn down the volume on your radio or television and keep your comments brief. Now back to Straight Talk Africa.
Thank you very much, Esther Githui Ewart, and welcome back to Straight Talk Africa, live from Washington. Once again, it's time to bring in my colleague and social media reporter, Mariama. Take it away again, Mariama.
Well, thanks, Shaka. We've received tremendous feedback in our STA inbox to our question that we threw out there on the elections in The Gambia and Ghana, which leads us to that question, which asks, how do you feel about the election results in The Gambia and Ghana? Well, starting off the conversation is Gumawa Ruabioma. He's writing to us from Paris in France with our letter of the week. Well, that letter of the week, I think we don't have it ready, but I will read it out loud. It says, in both the Gambia and Ghana, the opposition presidential candidate was declared the winner by the Electoral Commission. It speaks volumes for the independence of these institutions. The incumbent president of both nations quickly conceded defeat, although Gambian President Yahya Jammeh later withdrew his concession. Both elections showed that there is an increasing hope for democratic politics in Africa, however slow and elusive it may be. So that was written by our viewer who wrote to us from one of the Sorbonne's universities in Paris, France. Before we move on to more of your comments, let me first thank you for using all our social media platform to communicate with us. And another reminder that we are tweeting live today. Just use the hashtag VOA Gambia Ghana elections. It's all in one word. And if you haven't yet, do follow us on Twitter at VOA Shaka. Speaking of it, let's go to a tweet from Shita Bey. He writes that African leaders and their mad rush for power, once they've tasted power, they make it hard for themselves to leave office. Another tweet from Daniela Montemarano only had three words on this post, about 13 characters, and says, well done, Ghana. That's our second tweet. And now to a comment from a Facebook follower. We'll go to Hussein Besigye from Entebbe in Uganda. And he writes that African dictators bring nightmares to reality. I think most African countries were not ready for self-rule. Some presidents just act childish. Fair or unfair assessments from our viewers and listeners, Shaka and guests. Once again, what do you make of these comments?
Very interesting. Your reaction to that, Peter?
It's interesting because I was speaking with some journalists back in Ghana while I was there, and I was telling them that I would be surprised if President Yahya Jammeh basically hands over power quickly as he admitted or conceded defeat, because sometimes he can act a little bit erratic, and he's proving on the world stage that sometimes he cannot necessarily follow the rule or the pattern of accepting defeat easily.
So you did not really take him seriously?
Well, I did not.
This is a man that has actually presided over his country for a good 22 years.
Well,
from 1994, when he was 29 years old only.
True, he's tasted that power, the power, unbridled power, I would say. He's not challenged by anybody. One time, he had a Ghanaian as the top official in the judiciary, and the lady had to run for dear life.
The Chief Justice.
The Chief Justice had to run for dear life.
It's very interesting, by the way, because all the reports I have come across is that when it comes to the Supreme Court of the Gambia, you know, the Gambians, in fact, consider it to be a no-go area.
Well,
in fact, as we talk, the Supreme Court Chief Justice is a Nigerian.
Well, true. He has a knack of going to West Africa to get people, because some people in Gambia that I spoke with, some lawyers say they are not comfortable to work with him or for him. And so they probably decide not to work with him, just like Ambassador did. You know, after serving him for some time, decided it wasn't comfortable enough for him to stay there.
Very interesting. Mariama, do you have more social media reaction, please?
Yes, it's still pouring in, and lots of reactions. Let's go to a comment from a Facebook fan, Barima Nana Kofi, who's writing from Ghana, who writes that the elections in the Gambia and Ghana were conducted freely and fairly. While I'm happy Ghana maintained its democratic credentials in Africa, President Jammeh's reversal against the Gambian people after he graciously conceded defeat is a bitter pill to swallow. Well, another comment from Paul Okello, who's writing from Uganda, says the international community should not waste time persuading Gambian President Yahya Jammeh to step down. The United Nations Security Council and the African Union should immediately sanction an invasion to force him out. He is going against the will of the people. I guess a very bitter pill to swallow for this particular viewer. Shaka and guest, once again, your thoughts.
Very interesting. Sidi, your reaction?
Well, I think he has a point there. The will of the people will have to be maintained. They have gone to the polls. They have stood in lines. If you look at the lines, these people have stood in all corners of the country, and they have selected their choice. Their choice is Adama Barrow as their next president. He should step down. Jammeh should step down immediately and allow a smooth transition to take place. Now, the transition team, as I speak to you, are still extremely busy trying to manage this particular crisis on the one hand and still try to form a government on the other hand. And it is becoming extremely difficult for them to be able to focus on the affairs of state because of one single individual who has decided, for whatever reason, that he is not going to concede after he's already done so.
You know, it is interesting that earlier you referred to him as an autocrat, as obviously perhaps one of the worst examples of dictators, really.
Yes.
But the last time I checked, if I looked across the African continent, Mr. Barrow right now would be in prison. And all his supporters, they would not even have the benefit of pretending to put together a transition team to power.
Jammeh is not as, I think we tend to underestimate him.
Mm-hmm.
In a way, he is not all that stupid. Jammeh realizes that the people are behind a new candidate, a new president, because what he saw, he never expected to see from Gambians going out into the streets, tearing his posters. And these are some of his own supporters, by the way. And he is fearful of any public reaction that will cause people to get up and rise up against him. So he is fearful of that. This is why he is really playing it, in a very careful way. so that it's not going to explode.
Well, thank you very much, Mariama, for bringing us this week's audience reaction.
Well, thank you, Shaka, and thank you to our guest. And just before I move on, a quick shout-out to one of our interns, Jeffrey Darko, who happens to be from Ghana, and today is his last day. He spent a lot of time helping us and doing just a fantastic job with the social media. So I just want to take this opportunity to thank him because it is his last day. And also congratulate him. He's from Ghana, as I said, so he's walking around very proud that his country just nailed it during these presidential elections. And I always tease him. I'm like, hey, my country is better than yours. But definitely his country is shining, and I congratulate him. And he also voted for the person who won. So, Jeffrey, thank you for everything. Congratulations to you and to all the Ghanaians around who are definitely rejoicing about these democratic results. This will do it for today's social media segment. Just a reminder that we appreciate all the feedback, whether it's in social media form or using other means to communicate to us. Please keep them coming. If you are a new fan, just drop us a line at africatv@voanews.com. Once again, our email address is africatv@voanews.com. Or post your comment on our Facebook page. Just enter the keywords, Straight Talk Africa. Be sure to visit us online at voaafrica.com, or you can join our YouTube channel. Sign up to VOA TV to Africa, and don't forget to follow us on Twitter at VOA Shaka. A reminder that the show is streaming live every Wednesday. Just go to the VOA Straight Talk Africa TV program page on our website, or simply watch us live on your mobile device. Just download the VOA mobile app. Now, let's take a look at what's on tap for next week's program. On the next Straight Talk Africa, the 2016 year in review, we'll take a look at some of the continent's major events and happenings. We'll discuss Africa's political landscape and some of the challenges its leaders faced in 2016. That's right here on the next Straight Talk Africa.
Welcome back to our discussion on African reaction to the recent elections in Ghana and the Gambia. Our distinguished guests are my colleague Peter Kelote, host of VOA's Nightline Africa radio program, and Ambassador Sidi Sani, a former Gambian foreign minister. And I gather that Ni Akwete is still stuck in traffic downtown Washington, D.C. Maybe we'll have him next week as our guest. Well, gentlemen, again, I have to say that I am profoundly honored and exceedingly humbled to have the opportunity to host the two of you on Straight Talk Africa.
Thank you, Shaka.
You're most welcome.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Sidi. Talk to me, Peter. What is it in the foods or the soils of West Africa democratically? Because frankly, when you look at the trend of democracy across the continent, you and the Southern African states seem to be in a very, very elite club.
Well, Shaka, you have a point there. It seems for some time now, the electorate are getting the idea that they have the power to change the government if the government is not performing. Ghana, for that matter, this is the seventh consecutive time that the Electoral Commission has organized elections in the country. Mm-hmm. And every year you could see an improvement in the transparency and the vigilance of not only the political parties, but also the prospective voters themselves. They ensure that their vote are protected at the polling station, because it's at the polling station that the electoral or election engineering is manufactured. Now, once you prevent people from manipulating the elections at the polling station, pretty much you have a clean system, because in Ghana, the election results are declared at individual polling stations. So you can sit at home and basically know which party is doing what. Now, in the
members of civic society, for example, would have unfettered access to the results at the polling station.
At the polling station. And all the... In Ghana, you have over 400 radio and TV stations.
Correct.
Monitoring every polling station and reporting the results. Now, the Electoral Commission basically serves like an administrative body.
You have a very vibrant media landscape.
Absolutely.
There's no question about it. Is it possible that the Ghanaian civilians may, in fact, have learned a bit of democratic doors from the Ghanaian soldiers? After all, the Ghanaian soldiers pulled off 5 military coups before the real democracy came into place.
I think you're right. However, in 1992, since the reintroduction of constitutional rule under then-chairman Jerry John Rawlings, enormous powers were given to the national civic education to explain to Ghanaians about their ability to choose government.
Civic education.
Civic education. So it was right down at the school level, primary school level, secondary and tertiary level. Once they started getting involved, civil society groups sprang up everywhere, and they also participated in educating the masses. Now, this time around, even those people who did not go to school were saying, we want a change. And you could clearly see that the education was massive and people were involved in the electoral process. Now, if the people are involved in the electoral process, it makes it difficult for people to cheat or to manufacture results or massage figures, for that matter.
Very interesting. What about you, Mr. Ambassador? I mean, in your particular case, your country gets independence back in 1965?
Yes.
And your first president, of course, is Sir Dauda Jawara.
Yes.
And Jammeh just happens to be the second president of your country.
Yes, sir. Because Sir Dauda stayed 30 years.
Yes.
And now we have 22 years. That's over half a century, just 2 presidents. And I think that it is totally unacceptable to continue to have these type of rulers stay on indefinitely. Going back to what you just asked about the democratization of West Africa as being really... I think also the Economic Community of West African States,
ECOWAS, based in Abuja,
is one of the most effective regional bodies around, if you consider it, compare it with some other regional bodies, because they have done quite a lot in the areas of democracy.
If you compare it with, for example, SADC, the Southern African Development Community,
or East African,
the East African Community.
They have done quite a lot. And we just also happen to be coincidentally blessed with, you know, some heads of state now who subscribe to that view, which led to the commission, you know, promoting this idea of having term limits.
Is it a genuine new bleed of African leaders,
perhaps? I think so. Out of the 16 members, only 2 refused or did not support
term limits.
Togo and Gambia. Yes. Everybody else within the 16 member states, they all endorse the idea of 2 term limits.
Unfortunately, or fortunately, Eyasimbe Eyadema of Togo may in fact remain alone in that camp.
Yes.
Well, Shaka, to add a little bit to it, the Economic Community of West African States came out that they will not accept the unconstitutional removal of a government. It is unacceptable, and they were ready to go in to remove a president that comes by the barrel of the gun. So they shot, you know, they sent a strong signal to all the 16 member countries that we will not accept the unconstitutional removal of a constitutionally elected government.
I remember, of course, the contribution they made in Burkina Faso. You know?
Yes.
Burkina Faso. What about the fact that you have now, frankly, Nigeria, the most populous nation in Africa, embracing democracy?
Yes.
For the first time since October 1960, they actually had an election that was free, fair, credible, where an incumbent president also, like the one in Ghana, conceded defeat with grace and dignity. To what extent has that contributed, frankly, to the democratization process in the West African sub-region, really?
It has contributed significantly, and I think it is a process, and we hope. And this is where it is so painful to see a character like Yahya Jammeh, you know, coming up with this, reaction to the election of Adama Barrow. It could really be a new beginning for West Africa, because if you have somebody like Adama Barrow, who is going to be, and we can rest assured of the rest of the world, that he is a democrat and he is going to abide by the rule of law. He is surrounded by folks who are, you know, democrats themselves. I happen to have, first-hand information, experience with them. You know, Usainu Dabo is one who is, a legal luminary in the Gambia, and he was the leader of the opposition, the United Democratic Party, who has just been released. These are people who believe in the rule of law. Now, if we have Barrow as the president, I think that this is going to give a tremendous amount of boost to that wing within the ECOWAS who are promoting this new idea about democracy in Africa.
I gather that we have to go for the what I would call the lifeline of the show, which are the telephone callers from the African continent. Good evening, Tafa from Ghana. You're most welcome to Straight Talk Africa.
Hello, good evening, Shaka.
Usually terrific. How are you today, Tafa?
Well, I'm good, Shaka. Just recovering small.
How do you feel, man? Who did you vote for? Did you win or did you lose?
I lost, Shaka. I lost.
You lost, but the Ghanaians won.
Yes,
Ghanaians won. When democracy wins, Ghana wins.
Exactly, Shaka. Democracy wins.
Mm-hmm.
Shaka, quick two questions. I heard one of your guests. I think it's a Peter Kwete light.
Just one question, please. One question. There are several other people.
Okay. Shaka, you talk about people insult clergy. But Shaka, in Ghana here, we have a clergy who are in political suit, who mount a platform insulting president, calling president a name. If clergy is behaving that, how do you expect the president followers to deal with such clergy? And secondly, Shaka, do you really believe that the
I thought we had a deal, man. We had a deal. We had a deal that you only have to ask one question, Tafa, please.
Thank you, Shaka. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much, Tafa. All the way from Accra. Good evening, Samuel from Uganda. You're most welcome to Straight Talk Africa.
Good evening, Dugu Shaka. How are you? And welcome back. We are pleased to have you back in the studio.
You're terrific, and thank you so much. Profoundly honored and extremely humbled for your compliments, Samuel. What's your question?
I go to Peter Kuti. Why is there always a constant tendency of African leaders reluctant to leave power, as in Yahya Jammeh of Gambia, handing over to Adams Barrow. Supposing the audience in the diaspora suggests that, wait a minute, why can't African leaders borrow, at least from the U.S. democracy, as in President Obama, handing over to the President-elect Donald Trump on the 20th of January, 2017? Why can't we have a peaceful transition of change of power in Africa? What is your take, Peter? And thank you, Shaka.
Thank you very much, Sam. And let's go to the great nation of Nigeria. Good evening, Patrick. You're most welcome to Straight Talk Africa.
Good evening, Mr. Shaka. Good evening, Mr. Peter Klote. My question goes to Mr. Peter Klote, sir. United Nations Security Council, can they send soldiers now that will send Yahya Jammeh out of the office? Or are they waiting for civil war or crisis before they can send peacekeepers? Because what is happening there is dicing. You see, African Union and ECOWAS, can they offer Yahya Jammeh an asylum in any of these African continents?
Thank you.
Patrick Okrafor is my name from Arachukwu here in Nigeria.
Thank you very much. And let's go to Tanzania. Good evening, Elias. You're most welcome to Straight Talk Africa. Elias?
Yeah, thank you, Shaka.
Yes, sir. You have 1 minute, sir.
Yeah, Elias, I'm speaking. Okay. Let me just thank
the leader of Ghana for accepting the result. It's a very important thing for the leaders of Africa to accept the will of the people, because the people have chosen the president and allies in Ghana, Mr. Yahya Jallo. But denying the victory of Ghana, Adama Jallo, it's very unfortunate to the African leader. So my question is, how does the African leaders are held accountable within the African legal framework for the problems which they are causing within their country? That is my question.
Thank you very much. Now, Peter, it's very interesting, frankly, about the question is, in fact, they are asking.
Right.
This reminds me of somebody who once said, look, the African Union, for example, and the international community agree on one thing, that no soldier can shoot his way to State House anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Why can't they adopt the same policy that if, in fact, you hold an election, you are an incumbent, mm-hmm. and you lose the election, either you hand over power or they don't do business with you. If you change a constitution, which you are supposed to defend, protect, and uphold, they cannot do business with you just like a military coup.
I think they might have to come to that level to institute that measure, because failure to do that could create instability and chaos. I don't know why they have yet to do that, because some people say that these bodies, like the African Union, the decision makers are the leaders themselves.
Right.
So why would they say things that would be binding on them to be kicked out of power? And that is the problem.
But at least they have agreed on the fact that no soldier can shoot his way to State House anymore.
Because they are protecting themselves of being there. So they are scared that somebody will come and kick them out. And that is the problem. Now, secondly, there are concerns in Gambia that perhaps Yahya Jammeh could be a perfect candidate for the International Criminal Court for allegations of gross human rights violations and crimes against humanity over the period of over the 22-year period that is committed. But although the ICC has since 2002 to go after him, so there is a record that he could be facing prosecution at the International Criminal Court.
Very interesting. Sidi, your last thoughts.
Yes, I just want to say a word about the impending ECOWAS fact-finding mission. As you are aware, they were there yesterday. Nigeria was there, Buhari, Johnson Sirleaf was there, Anas Nkrumah was there, and so was
John Dramani Mahama was there too. Yes,
you know, so. They will be back on the 17th.
In fact, on Saturday, they have a summit in Abuja.
There you go.
I think it was the Secretariat.
So we will wait for that outcome.
The UN Secretary General has appealed to Yahya Jammeh to hand over power peacefully to President-elect Barrow.
Yes. I think there is going to be an ultimatum delivered, which will be very loud and clear and unequivocal. Perhaps maybe that would send the proper message to Yahya Jammeh.
Well, on that note, thanks to our distinguished guests, my colleague Peter Kelote, host of VOA's Nightline Africa radio program, Ambassador Sidi Sani, a former Gambian foreign minister, and Ni Akwete could not make it. Our affiliate stations, and along with our viewers, we thank you so much. For many of our Voice of America radio affiliates, Learning English is coming up next, and tomorrow morning, Daybreak Africa with James Bate. On behalf of the Voice of America, thanks for tuning in to Straight Talk Africa. In the meantime, get better, not bitter, Ghana and the Gambia. And please remember to keep the African hopes alive.